Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us on Straight Talk. We are the talk show made for men by men, except ladies, I promise you, you will never want to miss us. Straight Talk is the place where you get to hear and talk about relationships, love, money, family, and we always do it from the man's point of view. And we could not have that point of view without women. So we invite you to be part of this call. Ladies and gentlemen, today we are going to have another very interesting and controversial or just provocative conversation. And when I look at the Facebook conversations, and by the way, we do have a Facebook page, a chat page called Straight Talk. And that is a place where we continue these conversations that we do. Today our talk show goes from 7 until 8:30. I like to end it right there at 8:30. That is our commitment and our word, and I'd like to keep my word on that. I know many of you have things to do. And at the same time, the Facebook page allows us to have conversations 24/7. The Facebook page is the same thing. We talk about love, relationships. People post all kinds of things and comment. It gets heated sometimes. Our talk show tends to be way more civil, and it's in real time, so people really get to have their real open, honest thoughts on the radio show. The Facebook page, people have a little bit of time to think about what they want to say and go back and forth. So if you are not on our Facebook page, I invite you to make a request with me if you're already connected. If you're not connected to me on Facebook, connect with me and make a request. I will put you in the group. I have heard many people say they've learned lots of things about men, about women, so it's been very enlightening, and it is what you can say is a virtual negotiation table. It's where men and women get to come together and talk about their concerns, their likes and dislikes, and people give all kinds of great examples on how relationships work and how family gets involved in marriage. And all the complexities they deal with, and you get a lot of real insight from people who are in relationships, people who used to be married, divorced, and people who are having quite successful marriages. So I invite you to explore those conversations and be as expressive and as open and honest as everyone else is. It is definitely a place for straight talk. And some of the conversations are so straight that I guess some people are not accustomed to getting things straight, like as straight as they are in the group. So today we are going to have a conversation about women. And we're going to look at conversations before the relationship even starts. So, you know, as men, and we talked about this already, men have a long list of things they're supposed to do. We approach women, we ask for numbers, we buy drinks, we ask out on dates, we bring flowers, we take for dinner, we do all these things that we're responsible for. So today, we're going to ask a really big question, and it's not like it's never happened before. The question is, should women pursue men? And there are a lot of different ways to look at this. This conversation is going to open up more than one vein than whether or not men or women, or women should pursue men. And I'm going to, before I go into all those different avenues, we are going to be taking phone calls for. So for some of you who are listening on your computer or your phone through the link, you can call in and speak live. The phone number is 323-642-1387. That is 323 646-422-1387. So you can call in to that number, and I will take your call, and I'm going to have myself, and we'll do this almost like a forum. We're going to have a few people where we can all chat together and exchange ideas on whether or not women should pursue men. Like, some men think it's a good idea. Some men are uncomfortable with it. But how do women really feel about that? So before I start telling you what I think, I'm going to take a couple of calls. And let's see what people think of whether or not women should approach men. So we're going to take the call, first call from area code 901. 901, you're live and on the air with Straight Talk. Tell us your name and where you're calling from. You must be just listening to us. Okay. So 901, you just want to listen. That's pretty good. So let's see if we. Sorry, was that 901? Did you want to say something? Okay, so we're going to take a call from 610, area code 610. You're live and on the air with Straight Talk. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, Ted, it's Denise from Fort Worth, Texas. How are you?
Hey, Denise, how are you? Thanks for calling.
Yes, I wouldn't miss the show for anything. I think you have a new fan in me.
Thank you. Glad to have you on board. You make some really good comments. You have an excellent background to deal with subjects like this, so you can add a lot of value. And I've heard some, I've received some good comments about you, so I think people love you. So what do you think of this topic? Should women pursue men? What do you think?
I don't think they should. However, based on the post that I shared with you that I had probably a few weeks ago, the current climate has made it so men feel as though women should pursue them. To show interest. And based on my research on the topic, if a woman makes eye contact with a man and in her eye contact communicates that there's an interest and gives him permission to approach her, then she's done her part and the rest is up to him because she's opened the door. However, women can't play all that hard to get these days because it sends not only mixed messages, but also makes it seem as though they are unapproachable. So in this current dating climate, I don't think women should pursue men per se. However, they need to let them know that they have permission to approach them and engage them in conversation, to see where that goes. Because men are looking at women's body language, and most people don't know that their body language says a lot more than their words ever will and will tell whoever they're communicating with whether or not they are being genuine in what they say because of body language being a language in and of itself.
Right, right. Absolutely. So I want to throw a – I'm going to – so – you mind if I give you a scenario and tell me what you think of it? There may be guys in this situation. So, you ready?
All right, I'm ready.
Okay. So, imagine a guy in the supermarket. So, I'm going to tell you what actually happened. I was in a Trader Joe's. I'm here in New York in Manhattan. And I see this woman. She's attractive. And I saw her from a distance, sort of halfway on the other side of the store. And, okay, she's attractive. I went on, I do my shop, and I stand long line. And this woman comes out one of the aisles. Now, I'm to her right. And she looks to her right and sees me. Now, it's a weekday. I'm dressed in a suit. I wear a suit for work. And, I just met with a client, so I just stopped in a Trader Joe's. I'm wearing a suit during business hours. And she sees me, and she stares at me. Like, I mean, like, stare. And she's still walking, and I said hi, and her mouth, in a very shy way, said hi back. And she's staring and still walking and ran her cart right into a guy. She apologized to him and went. She went back to staring at me. And she, you know, starts going her way, and she turns back and looks at me before she turns down the next aisle. So what, yeah, so what would you think, what would you make of that scenario?
She was letting you know that she was interested and hoping that you would take the initiative to approach her. Because the fact that she ran her car to someone else means that she was engrossed in making sure she responded to you non-verbally, the non-verbal verbal cue, and then making sure that that door was open for you to walk through and approach her. Because
Let me finish the story. So perfect. Mm-hmm. So you saw what I saw. So when I'm paying for my things, I look back and I see her about to go to a register. So I wait, and when she gets outside, I walk up to her and I say only this. I said, "Hi, do you mind if I join you?" And she says, with a pretty nasty attitude, "Yes, I do mind you joining me." And I was shocked. So I'm not sure what her intention was. Now, what I understood is if I play the game, I'll be successful, except she had made a first impression. First impression is a lasting impression. And mm-hmm. what she showed me about her social skills were not the kind of social skills I would want. Now, I could have took her on, and I would not have respected her. I would have looked at her as for sex, and that would have been it. She would have never. It would have been very difficult for her to win my respect after that. So I actually just said, "Wow, you don't even know what you said no to." And she gave me kind of a goofy look, like, you know, that's not what she meant to do. But I just wasn't playing the game. So aside from guys talking about Me Too and being accused of doing something they didn't, that kind of mixed signal is what makes guys, some men say, "Hey, ladies, you need to be, I need more than a look to know that's what you want."
Okay. And I would agree to that to a point. However, I don't think if I were in your position that I would have asked to join her, because in her mind, instead of thinking in the moment with, because I would take that as you walking along with me, but that is not where every woman's mind would be. I probably would have approached it differently in saying, "Hi, how are you doing? My name is," because of her interpretation of what was said. Because based on the fact, if she would have looked at you in the store and then went about her business, okay, she's not really interested, but the fact that she continued the eye contact and maintained it to the point where she rolled right into somebody else's cart, she was interested. And I think that's where the lines get blurred, because men don't know exactly how to approach it, and they approach it in the way that they're most comfortable with. However, they don't think about how that would be interpreted by the woman.
Okay.
Because, I mean, if I'd have said, "Hey, how you doing?" and we'd have started a conversation. However, every woman doesn't think the way that I think. So it has to be approached differently. Instead of saying, you know, "Can I join you?" say, "Hey, how are you doing? My name is so-and-so." And then spark up that conversation, because she's already opened the door to it. And I don't think it was a miscommunication. I don't think she understood what your lead-in was. She misinterpreted that. And that's where, the like I said, the lines get kind of blurred. because she didn't understand you, but the social cue was very clear.
And so was mine.
It was, but to her it wasn't, because she probably interpreted it differently than the way you intended it.
And I understand.
I think it depends on where women are in their understanding of social cues, because a lot of women, and as we saw in the comments on the page, a lot of women don't know how to let a man know that they're interested without crossing the line and coming across a certain way. And that goes back to what they're taught by the older women in their lives. And those women are operating from a whole different set of standards than the women in 2019 are. So in a way, they're antiquated.
I get that. And so, and I do get the, hi, I'm Ted Santos. Yep. And just start talking. No matter how I did, unless I said to her, come over here, when she was staring, you know, that was one way to handle it. But I spoke to her when she was out of the store. It was just sort of a private she and I talking out of the store. I think it was the attitude that was more necessary, because I didn't say anything offensive, and I didn't bring attitude to her.
Mm-hmm. But I think that goes back to what women know and what they don't know about social cues. If they have not been educated on it, because my daughter will be 26 in a week, and she knows that if you make eye contact and then look away, that lets a man know that you're interested. And at 26, she's figured that much out and educates her friends in it. And what happens after that is up to them. So even though you made eye contact with her, she maintained eye contact. You communicated with her when you left the store, and she interpreted it whatever way she interpreted it, which was obviously negative, because her whole attitude changed. So I can't speak to why she misinterpreted that, because she made it beyond obvious in the store that she was interested and gave you permission to approach her, but then changed when she left the store. And I'm pretty sure it's probably because she misinterpreted what you said.
Well, if you're walking down the street and I say, do you mind if I join you, I'm going to walk with you.
Yes, and I agree, because that's how I would take it. But we can't assume that every person is going to think that, because everyone's experience with the opposite sex is different, and people tend to draw their experiences from every other person that they've been involved with or encountered subsequent situations, and they shouldn't, because when you are in all those other situations, they will further compound your emotional IQ when it comes to dealing with the opposite sex. And unless you deal with that and learn the social cues as they stand in 2019, there will be a lot of people who are frustrated and blame the opposite sex for why they're not able to pick up someone or date someone.
Go ahead. You mean?
Because for me, if a man makes eye contact with me and I maintain it and we leave the store and he initiates verbal communication, I'm going to continue that conversation with hopes that, you know, if we seem interested in each other, we're going to exchange phone numbers, and then that conversation is going to come. I wouldn't have handled it the way that she did, because, yes, she did send a miscommunication, but I'm willing to bet 9 times out of 10 she misinterpreted what you said, and I understood fully what you meant, but not every woman will. And that's based on her experience with the men that she's encountered.
Right. So what you're saying is, so last week I talked about how people have a radio station that plays, and that radio station is playing all the conversations that they've ever learned from their environment. That includes movies and books and teachers and friends and family. So, and what that does is, here's what I want to say. People don't occur as they are. People occur as you are.
Exactly.
Do you get what I'm saying? Yep. So hello can be misinterpreted as something that has nothing to do with hello, because a person has this conversation, this radio station they can't turn off, that says, I'm going to make up a silly one, but men who wear bow ties are nerdy and I don't deal with nerds. And and that may be just the radios. That is what is playing on that woman's radio station. So when a man with a bow tie says hello, she's having this entire dialogue with herself. And the guy doesn't occur as a man who's wearing a bow tie. He occurs as she is in her entire belief system, which is, you could say, programmed into that radio station. And it's just there, and it plays sort of like stimulus response. The person shows up, or an incident shows up, and the person just runs with what's already sort of pre-recorded on that station.
Yeah, and I agree, because I'd be willing to bet you when she got home or in the car even, she probably called one of her girlfriends and said, can you believe this happened? Because she based it, like you said, off of her experience versus off of the situation, because every experience is different. Every encounter is different. And it's all about the way that you perceive it, because I would have perceived it differently, as would other women have. And she perceived it as a negative thing when it wasn't a negative thing that she not
right.
only engaged in but encouraged.
Right, right, right. Absolutely. So, you know what? Hold one second. I want to see if I can get another person on this. One second. So I have area code 914. You're live and on the air with Straight Talk. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Yes, hi, Ted. It's Monty from New York. How are you?
Hey, Monty, what's going on? Thanks for calling.
How are you? How are you?
Pretty well. All right. So have you been tracking what we're saying in this conversation, or what?
I was excited to jump in. I apologize I didn't make the first 10 minutes of it, but I've caught this young lady's last response, I think eye contact tells a lot sometimes, but when I'm in the situation where I feel there's a attraction, I have no problem personally to walk up to an individual and say that I'm flattered I had this eye contact with her, but it's probably the wrong time right now, but could we meet up another time possibly to continue this and see where it goes, point blank? And I find it to be, when you're vulnerable and direct, if it's one party or the other, it's a positive situation to be in, because it's important to put yourself out there on the line and, make the attempt. You can't live on would have, should have, could have, especially, as time goes on.
Right.
You have to live and act on the moment. So I wouldn't say it's a male thing or a woman thing, but hopefully it could be the right thing for all of us. I don't know.
Hey, interesting when you say that transparency, you use the word vulnerability. So I met a woman, and we actually ended up living together for 5 years. So I met her literally walking down the street, And I was speaking to a buddy. I was on a bicycle, and I saw her go by his house. And I told my buddy, "Hey, I'll be back." And I come up behind her on a bike, and just as I'm about to say something, there were guys, because this is in Washington, D.C., right in the city, and there were a bunch of guys on the porch of a house, and they were all saying something to her. So in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, my God, what am I going to say to this woman? Like, she just heard every line in the world from those guys, and I'm just going to be another line to this woman. So I came up to her and said, "Hey, I know you just heard every line in the world, so there can't possibly be anything for me to say. So I actually have nothing to say to you, but I still want to join you. Do you mind if I walk with you?" And she said, "Sure." And we walked. So, yeah, it's that kind of openness and transparency, Monty, that you're saying.
Do you feel that, I mean, you know, it's funny because I went to a charity event somewhere, and, you know, you notice also the awkwardness where everybody could be at a dance and everybody will start dancing on their own. And if there's that eye contact, but, you know, it's that initiative. And I think it's the thought that most people have of the possibility of rejection.
Right.
And today, you know, everybody should be looking at everything as a compliment if it's done in a right, tactful way, you know.
So what do you think what do you think of women pursuing men?
I have no problem with that. Well, you know, it just depends. It just depends. I mean,
is there a scenario where it would be inappropriate or uncomfortable?
Well, you know, it was an interesting thing. One woman had approached me outside the dance floor and said, "Okay, are you married? Are you dating anybody? Do you have a girlfriend? Are you gay?"
Really?
Oh, and she went through the gamut for me, and but I wasn't attracted to her. So, you know, I told her I applaud her directness, but to be fair and honest, we're not a match. But I really appreciate it. So that's it, you know. I mean, you know, there, because it goes both ways, right? There can be somebody I approach that it's the same thing. You know, do we all want something we can't have, or is it a combination of factors? Who knows?
So, Denise, do you think that's the scenario most women want to avoid?
What's that?
What Monty just said, the woman walked up and asked, "Are you married? Are you seeing someone? Are you gay?" Or she just went down the whole list.
She wanted to make sure that he was approachable. Because in this day and age, like, I look for a wedding ring, but that is not always an indicator as to whether or not a man is single, because a lot of men don't wear their wedding rings. So she just took it there, she just, you know, cut through all the red tape and said, you know, what's what? You know, can I talk to you or not? Because the worst thing that could happen is, you know, they start conversing and then, you know, she becomes fully vested. And then you find out a month or two down the line that he's either in a relationship or married. And then it's like, you know, well, why couldn't you just be straight up from, you know, the door, which a lot of, and I can't even say a lot, some men won't, because they want their cake and eat it too, because it goes back to what Monty said about being vulnerable. People are afraid to be vulnerable and be honest about where they're at and what they want, because they don't want to be judged. But when you are dateable, quote unquote, you have to let some of that out in order to attract the right person, or else you'll attract someone who's married or in a relationship and trying to have their
and you just, right. No, well, I wasn't necessarily talking about that, and I do get that. What I was really talking about was Monty said he wasn't attracted to her. So it didn't matter what – I'm going to assume, I can't speak for you, Monty, but it sounds like it wouldn't have mattered what she said and how feminine and, you know, how diplomatic or well-versed she was. Her approach was going to meet with, you know, I appreciate and acknowledge, you know, what it took to do this, except we're not a match. That's where he ended. Mm-hmm. We're not a match. So I'm asking, is that the thing women are most afraid of, that which makes them not want to approach a guy?
It could be, but then you have women that just don't care. Because if he wasn't attracted to her and he let that be known either by being very forward and saying it or his body language, because if people paid attention to body language, it tells a lot and conveys messages that we necessarily don't want to hear but are there. So either she didn't get it and or she didn't care whether or not he was interested in her or not, because people are afraid of being judged in that regard. And rejection is hard for men because they receive so much of it. But that's like uncharted territory for women. And that's something that a lot of men say that women should experience because they've experienced it. And it's not
okay
to say that Monty was rejecting her. He was just, you know, not interested in, you know, being very forthcoming with that, which I could appreciate, but not a lot
right
of women could appreciate that because they're not in a place where, you know, they're honest with, I'm not going to be every man's cup of tea. Every man that I'm attracted to is necessarily going to be attracted to me.
Well, one of the things that I find is, and I couldn't tell you what percentage, is that some women are very surprised when a man says, yeah, we're not a match. And she's like, why not? Almost like, and I've heard women say, I didn't think any man would turn down sex. When a woman is clearly interested, how could you say no? And I understand you have preferences, except I'm putting myself on a silver platter for you. I'm available in yours, and you're still saying no. So I maybe women don't expect men to say no if they do make that effort. However, it's a risk. It's almost like it kills that presupposition that all men will have sex with any woman, and no woman wants to find out that she's being told no.
Yeah, because not every woman has been women are not used to being rejected. I mean, I'm smart, I'm attractive, I'm fit, but even I get rejected, and I've learned to be okay with that because certain men know exactly what they want, how it looks, what it thinks, what she thinks, what she says, and how it could add to his bottom line. And
right,
women think that they just have to show up in the looks department, in the sex department. The cooking is like here or there because a lot of women are not into that. But they don't know what it feels like to be rejected, and they expect men to want them just because they view themselves as desirable, whether or not, regardless of how they show up or not, if that makes sense.
No, and that's what I'm getting at, is that, you know, oftentimes women don't expect a man to say no. And it's not even, and Monty, I don't think you were rejecting the woman. You were actually being honest.
Uh-huh.
You could have strung her along and did a lot of things, but, you know, it was in your best interest to be straight with her.
Mm-hmm.
So. It's not
because,
even rejection.
Yeah, you know,
you're
I mean,
allowed
if
to
it,
have
if
preferences.
Exactly, and people are not used to someone knowing what they want and speaking to it. And
right.
in
Monty,
my
what were you going?
Perspective, from my perspective,
right.
I would much rather a man be straight up from the door than waste my time.
Right.
No harm, no harm.
Exactly. Right. What were you going to say, Monty?
You know, throughout relationships, and if as you're at a particular point when everybody's being fair, open, and honest, you really could live with the situation. So when you are being vulnerable, which actually both men they're not capable, and I say that a different way because I've heard it you know hundreds of times that. When you're vulnerable and you tell someone how you feel and what to do, you're either that much closer to that individual or closer to the end where you're getting on with your life too. So either
right.
way, when you could live with yourself and doing your best, that's it. That's all you can do.
So, you know, there are probably more women who, and maybe it's circumstantial, there are probably more women who do pursue men. I mean, I've had phone numbers shoved in my pocket, and the woman says, hey, I just put my number in your pocket. Don't take it out in front of people. Just call me when you get home. Monty, I had a woman follow me down. I think I may have been on 6th Avenue,
uh-huh.
walking uptown. Maybe I was in the 50s. And so I'm walking towards, and so, Denise, I don't know if you've been in Manhattan, but, you know, 6th Avenue in the 50s, the streets are fairly crowded, right? But not Times Square crowded, but there's a decent amount of people. And there's a woman walking towards me. And I see her, but to my peripheral vision, I saw her turn around, and I saw her turn around. So I walk a block. I don't know if she's following me. I turn at a corner. I turn at another corner, and I can still see this woman a few feet behind me. So I go into Central Park, and I figure no woman's going to follow me into Central Park. And it's summertime, and it's still daylight. And sure mm-hmm. enough, she followed me into Central Park. And I just walked anywhere because I was thinking, no woman is going to follow a guy. Like, this is just, that would never happen.
Uh-huh.
And eventually I stopped somewhere, and she stopped. And so I walked up to her and just, I started talking. So women will, I still wouldn't say that she pursued me. And in some way she did, but I wonder if part of the challenge is guys, even if they're not good at it, there's an expectation that they know that they have to approach a woman, pursue her, and know what to say. I think a lot mm-hmm. of times women don't always know how to move things to the next step of the conversation. So oftentimes women use sex as a way to capture a man's attention.
And I have to agree with that because not every man, there are men who love forward women. They just love it. There are others that will tell you that they don't. And in my experience, I lived in an apartment complex and there was a very attractive man that I found very attractive. And to speed the process along, because he's a mailman and I'm a teacher, so our schedules weren't always, you know, the same. And so I left a note on his windshield because his car was parked right outside of my apartment. And although he appreciated it, he said, I don't know why you felt that you had to do that because I noticed you and would have made contact anyway. So not every man likes it when a woman is being forward because that takes
right.
him out of the driver's seat of being a man. And then he's like, well, wait a minute, now I have to come up with how I'm going to, you know, respond or react to this. So, and that's why I say that men, women should not pursue men, because men by nature are hunters. In the book of Ruth, you have Naomi who told her mother-in-law, Naomi, well, I'm just going to go out to the field and he'll take notice to me. And he did take notice. Boaz did take notice.
Excuse
her.
Me, Denise?
Yes.
Did you just let that just then go away? You walked away from the answer, or did you respond? I'm curious.
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, the conversation continued because we were both interested in each other. So even though, you know, I took the lead in it instead of waiting for him to see if he was actually interested, it furthered the conversation and we got to know each other. And it led to us becoming involved for 2 years. So
okay, so it did work out.
It worked out. It worked.
So that,
right.
But that was only
bottom line. Go ahead. I guess I would say the bottom line, it worked. It actually was effective.
Yes, it worked. It didn't last, but it worked.
Personally, I think his response, though, would have been, you know, okay, he would have, you beat me to the punch would have been more of the fun answer and
mm-hmm.
positive, but it worked out. So that's good. That's good.
But I've learned from that not every man is going to respond that way. And I dated a guy who told me, you act too much like the man. You don't have the genitalia I have. Let me be the man and you be the woman. So it depends on the man. So it's an individual thing. The woman can't sit here and be so aggressive where she, you know, approaches every man she's interested in. She has to just as long as she lets him know there's interest, just see where he takes it. If he doesn't approach you, okay, fine, all well and good. He might not be interested. If he does, even in the way that you did it, as you and I both interpreted it, then let's see where that goes, you know, where it leads to. But I think women need to know that, one, they can easily send mixed messages by, you know, that woman made eye contact, but then when you approach her in the parking lot, she took it to a whole different level, you know. So women have to know their place in the order of, you know, the whole relation or the whole dating thing. You know, just make eye contact with the man. Let him know that, you know, you're opening the door for him to approach you, and then just let him approach you.
So I have two thoughts around this. One, who made up this idea that men are hunters? Because if you look at animals, there's no male animal that hunts for sex.
Correct.
And the second is I want to look at some of the old ways that women made it, how women were much more interactive in letting a man know that she's interested. But before we go down those two paths, let me see if I can get someone else to join us. I want to take a call from area code 919. You're live and on the air with Straight Talk. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Good evening, guys. This is Seven Smalls. I'm calling from Raleigh, North Carolina. Actually, I'm on the road traveling from Silver Springs, Maryland. What's up, guys?
Hey, how you doing? Hey, thanks. Thanks for calling.
I'm doing good,
man. I was going to say, should women pursue men? What do you think of this?
Well, listen, I think men and women both pursue each other in indirect and direct ways. I'm more of a traditionalist to some degree. I think a woman can give choosing signals by being kind to a man, by, you know, pursuing, you know, showing the man some level of interest, you know, with her body language, with a kind gesture. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
I do think men and women pursue and choose men in an indirect way, but however, I don't have a problem with a woman showing a level of interest as long as it's passive. You know, The ironic thing, I was in Silver Springs this week, and the women up here are very aggressive, which is cool with me. It doesn't bother me, but I don't have a problem with a woman showing a level of interest that's an indirect pursuit. I like to let a woman know that I'm interested in her if I was a single man, but, you know, sadly, I don't think a lot of women in this generation, in my opinion, a lot of them are not even worth pursuing, in my opinion, you know, because they don't show a modicum of femininity that I find appealing. And when you think about the women of yesterday, they were a lot more appealing as related to femininity. So a lot of modern women, in my personal opinion, I don't think they show that feminine demure grace that women personified, you know, say 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years ago. So that's my take on it. I think a woman can pursue a man in an indirect way that's feminine.
Yeah.
But you know, I like for a man to, you know, take the initiative and let a woman know that he's interested in her. But like I said, that's because the feminine complements one another if that woman is a feminine woman. But I'll let you take it. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's perfect, because I just there were two things I wanted to address, and one was how women used to know. Does anyone know why? Like, we're going way back, and someone has some static, not just static, you're moving some things around. Someone has some noise in the background. Can you go on mute? All right, perfect. All right, so
now listen,
back
guys,
I'm on the highway.
I'm on the highway.
No, that wasn't it wasn't you.
Okay. All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So back in the old days, women used to drop their handkerchief. Does anyone know why women dropped their handkerchief?
It was to see if the man would pick it up and bring it back to her, because that was considered chivalrous.
Actually, she dropped her handkerchief. She would do what you said, Denise, make eye contact, drop her handkerchief, and that was a very interactive way for the woman to say, I'm interested in you. Now, if he picked it up and brought it back to her, that could be a sign that there was mutual interest. However, if he was married, he may tell her, you know, I'm married. But if he wasn't, that was her way to let the man know. So what I'm getting at is, as you could say, people may have been more conservative back then, except women were much more, made a greater effort to make it obvious that they were interested. There wasn't a guessing game, like, you know, what's going to happen. Like, they knew the rules of engagement were pretty simple. I drop my handkerchief. I look at him, drop my handkerchief, he picks it up, brings it to me, and now we're on. We're going to have a conversation because there's a mutual interest. There's more of a guessing game with men now.
And I would have to say that I agree with that, because in years past, if a woman was overly forward, she would be judged as being loose. So something as simple as dropping the chief, let him know, I'm interested, and if he furthered that conversation, then that lets her know that he was free to continue engaging in conversation with her, because back then, marriage was viewed more sacred than it is now. By sorts of people. So her thing, and again, she stayed in her lane. She dropped her handkerchief because that was what was socially acceptable for that time. She knew her place as a woman and let the man be the determining, not I want to say the determining factor, but the determining factor as whether or not that exchange continued. And
go ahead and keep going.
And I think now, because times have changed and shifted like 100%, you know, women are more forward now than they've ever been in any other time in history. Because I think back to the 80s when I was 10, 11, 12 years old, and how my mother was after she and my dad split up. She didn't face the challenges that I faced as a single woman in 2019. and she wasn't forward by any stretch of the matter. You know, she was traditional in her approach for that time period. But I think women now want what they want. They don't care if you are in a relationship or married or not. They want you, and they're going to do whatever they can to get you. And then SZA, you know, coming up with this song, pretty much saying that a man has three side chicks, his main chick and then two side chicks. Women are subscribing to that. They lost the art of femininity down through history because they're listening to everyone saying, well, women outnumber men and you got to get in where you fit in. I don't want anyone who's attached, because if you and I are going to do this thing, it's going to be you and me, not me, you, and two or three other women. And women now don't have that level of self-respect for themselves, and they act out of desperation because they buy into, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, there aren't enough men to go around, so I'd rather have a piece of man and get his crumbs than having a whole man, which shows you exactly how healthy her mindset is.
So you know, part of what I'm getting, and you're not really saying this, is a woman with aggressive behavior might only attract a guy who also has aggressive behavior. So, you know, you talked about marriage being more sacred at one time, and now men are rewarded. So you look at that song, a man is, you keep telling men they are the hunter, and so they're rewarded for being the hunter and having as many women as they can acquire. And that creates a certain mindset. So if I first say there's no male animal that hunts for sex, like none of them, what animals will do, if you look at a peacock or other animals, they will build a nest, they'll spread their feathers, they'll do all kinds of dances to attract the female. Deer will set up a certain area in a scent to attract females. Lions and some other animals will fight for a female, and, you know, the lion is pretty brutal. The lion will come in, fight, defeat the male, kill all the cubs, and the females just lay down and assume the position for sex. So, so males are not hunting for a mate or sex, but they will set up shop. And if you look at humans, we really do the same. You know, the guy buys the right car, he gets the right job, he gets a big house. He acquires power and influence, and that's the same thing to attract women. So, you know, we hear a lot about how men are hunters, but that can actually, if a man is in a hunting mode, he could actually end up getting more pleasure out of hunting than actually being in a relationship, which means he most likely will be in dysfunctional relationships. But if he sets up shop to attract a woman, like many other animals, that could be better. But I just wonder if we've tried to change nature so much, because if you look at a wealthy man, if you have a few wealthy men, a couple of wealthy men come into a room that's filled, like let's say for networking, you'll all of a sudden see women have no problem pursuing a wealthy man, a guy, whether he's a professional athlete, entertainer, politician, successful businessman. All of a sudden, the idea of no hunting goes out the window. Guys on the call, have you seen that too, or am I just making that up? Monty. Have you guys seen that also?
Did they just like exit the conversation?
Wait, say that again.
I said, did they just exit the conversation? What was your question again?
If it's a wealthy man, women, the rules of women don't pursue go out the window. All of a sudden, it's okay. to pursue.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, I've been told by men, because I am a tad bit old fashioned, you know, and I tell them, you know, if I open the door, it's up to you to walk through it. And if you don't walk through it, then I'm not going to encourage that behavior. But if you walk through, then we're going to engage in the conversation and see where it leads to. But the rules, like you said, have definitely changed because women have become more aggressive. And it's almost as if the roles have switched. And I don't, in my opinion, it's not for the better because it takes men off of or out of, you know, their particular element as being men and kind of takes away some of their power. And if you wanted to take it a step further.
Yeah.
I'd say
it's
really masculine.
You know, if you go back 200 years, 100 years, you still found women pursuing men of power. It has happened. You can go back 1,000 years. You'll find it.
And that's true. However, if the women that were pursuing the men in power were either those who were widows, because if you take it back to biblical days, when a man died, it was up to the other men in his family to take the widow as a wife to carry on the family name, which is how Naomi ended up in Boaz's field. He was a male kinsman to them. So it's different. Women now, they're just, you know, being aggressive to any man that comes along. And, you know, if you take it back to biblical days, women knew their respective place, and if not, Proverbs 31 never would have been written. So women knew when to do what.
Well, you know what? You know what I want to talk about, and I'm going to take let's see if we can get another call on here. But since men are becoming more shy and some are uncomfortable with women pursuing them, should we be looking at something like arranged marriage or some resemblance of arranged marriages? But let's see if we can get another person in here. I'm going to take a call from area code 678. 678, you're live and on the air. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
All right. This is Iskender Bukhari. I'm calling from Georgia.
Hey, how you doing? From Georgia. Say your name once again.
Iskender Bukhari.
Okay. Hey, how you doing, man? Yeah. All right. Thanks for calling in. I saw your comments on Facebook. Great. So what do you think of this conversation? Should women pursue men?
Okay, so my thoughts on it are a little bit different. I'm the type of person who goes along with what works, right? I can't say what a person should or should not do.
It's Kinder, do you have this on a speakerphone or something?
I have my Bluetooth. I'll switch it up. Hold on one sec.
Okay, yeah, it's not 100% clear.
All right, is that better?
Yeah, that's better. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, cool. So I'm more of the mindset of do what works, all right? There is no answer that could be given that works for everybody. I think we already know that. So my mindset, so my thought process goes more along the lines of if for a woman, since the topic is what a woman should or should not do, if a woman looks at her life and she can say that her dating life is what she wants it to be and is where she wants it to be by doing the things that she's already doing, then I say, hey, keep doing what you're doing. If you're pursuing, keep pursuing. If you're not pursuing and you let the man pursue you, then do that. It's working for you. However, if you look at your dating life and you don't like what you see, you aren't pleased with the results, then you should probably switch it up because whatever it is that you're doing is not working for you, the individual.
Right. Yep,
that's my take on that.
Right. So someone said it's doing the same thing over and expecting a different result is insanity. So if you're a woman and you're just sitting back waiting for the guys to hunt for you and you're not getting the result, maybe that's not working. And
right.
so
Cause
we
now,
were.
It works. It works for plenty of women now. Like don't get it
correct.
Wrong. It works for plenty of women. It's a lot of women that will say, and will attest to being quote unquote hunted or being pursued, being the one sought after. And hey, if it works, more power to you. There's no reason to interrupt something that is bringing you the results that you desire. Matter of fact, that would be illogical to do in the first place.
Well, maybe.
I reiterate.
Let's think about this. So what if you're just getting lots of dates and men pursue you, and what you really want is marriage, and so you're really not getting a result? I think a lot of women have to understand there's a distinction between men being interested in you and men wanting to wife you.
Correct, but you actually use the same terminology that I was using before. No matter the reason why you're not getting the result, the fact of the matter is you're not getting the result that you want. Even if you, as
correct.
A woman, have plenty of options, you still aren't getting the result that you want. So what is it that you're doing? What is it that you're not doing? Are you willing to try what you're not doing? Are you willing to stop doing what you are doing? You have to make a change in order to bring about the result that you're
right.
looking for.
So I'm going to ask all the men on the line, are there things that you think women could do differently to let men know that you're interested? I mean, so there are women who say, I'm the prize, and I'll just sit back. Men are hunters, chase me. And there are women, and there are some beautiful women, well-educated. You know, they have all the so-called bells and whistles of a great job and education. They're smart. Yet they are perpetually single. And so I'm asking the men, are there things that women can do more efficiently to let a man know, and especially if it looks like the kind of quality guy you want, are there better things women can do aside from sit back and say, I'm the prize?
Well, I think a woman can be very direct in her approach without being too aggressive. I think she can start off by saying, this is who I am. My name is Jane Doe. I'm from so-and-so. What's your name? Tell me more about yourself. I think she can initiate the conversation and show some level of moxie that will give the man some level of affirmation that she's giving him choosing signals. And then from that point, you know, hey, start conversations, you know, say, look, would you like to go out and have coffee, go to a book reading or whatever. But there are ways to do it. You know, unfortunately, people lack critical social skills in this generation, especially a lot of the millennials and post-millennials compared to myself, a Gen Xer. But you know, I think she can give choosing signals that are not aggressive, but, you know, she's letting the man know, like, what's your name, where are you from, where do you live, and just be friendly and kind. And I think a lot of time that's adequate enough to reduce a lot of the anxiety that men have as it relates to the relationship dynamic that often occurs between men and women.
Really good. Good, good. Anyone else?
Okay, well, I have a couple of thoughts. I noticed, I was listening earlier, and I noticed that there was a lot of comparison of men to animals. And just
right.
people to animals, hunter, prey, all that good stuff, okay? A thought that I had earlier goes along the lines of this. One thing that I noticed that a lot of animals don't do, no other animal does, is look at other animals and try to mimic them. A tiger never tries to be a dog. Dog never tries to be a cat, so on and so forth. But humans, we often find ourselves comparing ourselves to tigers, lions, cheetahs, all these different type of animals to justify a character flaw or something that we do, a habit that we have, or things of this nature. I think, and I notice women do it too. I think first and foremost, since we're talking about women at this juncture, I would say women should just be yourself. Don't try
right.
to be anything else. Don't try to be what you think that God wants you to be. Don't try
right.
to take yourself out of the comfort of being you, because regardless of whether or not a relationship that you try is going to be successful or unsuccessful, and however which way you interpret that to be, you're still going to have to live with yourself. You're still going to have to be with yourself. So I'd say first and foremost, what a woman should do is be comfortable in her own skin. And one of the ways you can do that is being comfortable being single. Because when you're comfortable being single, when you're good at it, when you actually enjoy it, there is no risk in getting rid of someone who is not good for you. There's no risk in that. Because
well said.
The fallback is you being with you and you already love you. So having that confidence in yourself, in my personal experience, is something that I find attractive. So I can't give you a more broad answer that a woman can use across a multitude of men. I can only give you an answer that could work on me and somebody like me. And that's just be comfortable with yourself. Be confident in yourself, whatever that may be. If you have a weird interest, have that weird interest. Don't hold that back. If that pushes someone away, then shoot, pushes them away. No big deal. Confidence in yourself, comfortable with yourself, and be comfortable being single. Then you don't have to worry about trying to make yourself into something that you're not in order to attract someone that you think that you want. That's my piece.
No, well said, because if you become something you're not, you end up attracting something you're not. You end up attracting someone who's attracted to someone you're not, which in the end it starts to crumble because you have to continue this facade, this fake person that you never were. So,
yep.
Well said. Everyone, hold on. I want to see if I can get someone else on this call. I'm gonna take a call from area code 224. 224, you're live and on the air with Straight Talk. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Can I be heard?
Are you 224?
I am 224. What's going on?
What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Bobby Drake, and I'm calling from Miami, Florida.
Hey, Bobby Drake. Yeah, I see you in the group all the time. Thanks for calling.
I finally got 2 or 3 seconds to be able to join in.
What's your thought? Should women pursue men? What's your thought on this conversation? You've been listening for a bit.
I think it's an interesting discussion. It's an old one, but I think it's still very useful and relevant, and it definitely has a lot of merit to it. Myself, having more of a traditional mindset, I'm not opposed to the idea at all, in spite of that, of women pursuing men. As far as the hunting aspect of it, I think too often we get kind of caught up into looking at hunting as being a purely masculine thing. And I do believe it is a masculine idea, but I think it's because we have typically a one-way or a stationary view of hunting. You know, when people talk about hunting, you typically get ideas of people with guns or tools like knives and swords or things of that nature. They're actively chasing after a creature, whatever the object is that they're hunting. And it's very valid. That is a huge part of hunting, but there are other ways to hunt too. And using the animal kingdom as a base for that, you'll see that it's not just the strong, powerful lions and tigers and cheetahs that hunt. You also have creatures who are, by many considerations, very weak. They are inferior in some cases to the boa constrictors and the lions and the sharks of the world. But they have other means of hunting as well, too. You know, it's just a lesser quality prey. And many times you have animals that will also set traps. So they might camouflage themselves to look a certain way. They might leave out a bait or a lure of some kind that's going to draw the attention of whatever the prey is. And as soon as that creature, whatever it is, gets into range, they strike and they're successful and they capture the prey. And it works well enough for many animals throughout the kingdom to be able to successfully survive and provide food for themselves and for their offspring as well. So when we talk about women hunting or pursuing men, it's very possible, and I don't believe it's necessarily masculine to do that. I tuned in early, well, I wouldn't say early enough, but I tuned in time to catch, I think it was Ted, making reference of women back in the day dropping their handkerchief to try to lure the men in. That's a method of hunting as well, too, even though it might not get the same level of respect or appreciation that the overt hunting will attract. And it's very effective. You know, if a gentleman sees the handkerchief fall, you know, he's going to automatically take it upon himself as a man, as being about the cultural chivalry, to retrieve the lady's handkerchief. And it'll certainly cause him to pay more attention. He might be focusing on something else. But now he's seeing this. It's his obligation, he feels, to retrieve it and be a gentleman. And now he's paying attention to the person who dropped the handkerchief. Maybe even picks it up, and you've seen in old movies and films and TV shows where sometimes the gentleman is just so blown away by the woman, might even smell the handkerchief, and she has a nice perfume, and so he's like, wow, I'm really into her. And one thing leads to another. That is hunting. But I don't think that anyone would ever dare get that confused and say, oh, that's a masculine way of hunting. In fact, if a guy were to probably use that kind of tactic, he might even be looked at as being feminine. So there are ways that women can leverage their femininity to make it clear and plain that, hey, I'm interested, I'm available, come say something to me. And it can definitely give men permission to go ahead, which is something, unfortunately, I think is going to be very important in the coming years, as it seems that there's so much going on where women are getting rights or getting advantages now. In some cases, someone argues at the expense of social interaction. And so for many men, it's a question of, well, is it even safe to pursue? Can I do this without worrying about any sort of consequences down the line, whether it's legal or otherwise? We have stories of women doing things like thirst trapping or getting guys interested when a guy approaches, and she'll put him on blast, or she'll just be very, you know, very disrespectful, try and say, oh, my goodness, you know, just kind of just flossing and flexing, like, oh, look at these men, they won't leave me alone, knowing that she's courting that kind of attention. So when we have women who are willing to kind of put themselves out there in those kind of ways to kind of give the okay, I think it would kind of help to correct some of the directions we've been going in, and it can kind of help get these relationships and these interactions back online. And I'm off my soapbox.
Well, perfect. No, thank you, Bobby, for that. Denise, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Great. So we've got a lot of men on the line, and they're all saying that it seems that there is this openness to a woman pursuing, and it sounds like it doesn't matter what time period we're in. Women had a more, you could say dropping your handkerchief is somewhat aggressive, and, you know, you could call, as you're saying, Bobby, it's a way of hunting. She sought out the man she wanted. She made it known, like she had a target on him, in a way of reeling him in. Almost like fishing, really. She dropped her bait and reeled him in.
Precisely.
So what are your thoughts? And wait, I'm going to take another call, but I'm asking you, Denise, what are your thoughts as you're listening to all the men here? But one second, let me see if I can get another person here. I'm going to take a call from area code 323-323. You're live and on the air with Straight Talk. What's your name and where are you calling from?
This is Audrey calling from Los Angeles.
Audrey, thank you for calling. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I've never called in on the line before, so thank you for inviting me. I've
You're
been
welcome.
Listening to the conversation, and I had some thoughts. And I like to call myself a reformed alpha woman. And I know people have difficulty with that term, and I'll tell you why. And I didn't want to put this on Facebook because people tend to misinterpret what you're saying. You know, I'm definitely a woman that believes in getting therapy, because I feel like if my relationships aren't working, being that I'm a Buddhist, I realize that I have to take responsibility. And I've had great relationships, but I think that I felt like something was missing. And I went to a seminar by a very brilliant Caucasian woman that has several PhDs in human behavior. And I asked her a question, and I was very tearful. I'm like, you know, my relationship didn't work out. I did everything right. And the first thing this woman said to me was, and I'll never forget her words, she said, first of all, let me apologize to you for the way you were brought to this country in chains, the way you had your femininity wrestled from you. which makes you angry, which made you the head of household, and which made you disrespectful to your men. And I'm telling you, for a woman like myself, that was very difficult to hear because I didn't feel like I was being disrespectful. But when she broke it down, she ended up having a group of black women in a therapy group. There were like 30 of us. And, you know, some of us were, you know, there were doctors, lawyers, there were flight attendants, all kinds of women. And when she broke it down, it's like if you want a man, you have to be a woman, basically. So if you're a masculine woman, find yourself a feminine man that has nothing to do with sexuality. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But if you want a masculine man, you can't be a masculine woman. And it takes, this is what you have to understand. The average black woman doesn't understand that because it hasn't been presented to us that way. And I had to learn that the hard way because, you know, in the workplace, this is what women need to understand. We're all masculine in the workplace. Because if I do the same job as you, there's no such thing as I get paid less. So in the workplace, everyone is masculine. But in the home, there's a masculine energy and a feminine energy. But that does not mean I'm the man, you do what I say. It's like we discuss things, but there has to be a trusted leader, a respected leader, and a cherished follower, bottom line. And if you don't want it that way, you're probably not going to get him. Sorry?
I'll say, well, there's cooperation. So when you go to work, there's a boss.
No, that's definitely a part of it. But a lot of the guys on your thread, they don't see it that way. They see it as, I'm the man, you do what I say. That's not going to apply with modern women.
Does
that make sense?
Okay. Yep. No, I get it. I get it. Well, you've seen my comments. I never use the word submission. I'm only interested in cooperation because you could submit and not cooperate. You could submit and sabotage. So I'm more interested in cooperation. And if you're whatever you're bringing to the relationship, I want to leverage. I want the advantage of all that you bring. You know, not just sexuality. I want your brain. I want all of you, your brain and your body.
I understand that. One more thing I'll say is that about, you know, being a woman, being an aggressor, my personal thing is I don't approach men anymore, but I've learned a technique. Like, you know, I'm not in dating mode right now, but if I were in a social setting and I saw a man that I found attractive, I would have to know that he was attracted to me, and the only way is to look at somebody. If I look at him and smile, he knows he's not going to be rejected. He'll come and talk to me. If he doesn't, then he's not, and then nobody's at a loss. Does that make sense?
Yep. Well, in the beginning of the show, I gave a scenario where a woman just stared. So, yes. Yep, I get that.
But you have to smile,
100%.
Too. You can't just stare because men are, you know, because, you know, men are, you know, men, you know what? I love black men so much. And I'm going to say this. I don't have a lot of time. Is that, you know, I've had the fortune to travel the world. I've been to every continent except Africa. And black, not just black men, but black American men are so amazingly sought after. And people want to be close to you. They want to know you. There's a certain magic that's there that I wish these men that do nothing but complain could capture. Because I remember being in Portugal before there was an internet, and there were young Portuguese men trying to emulate urban black men. That you know, they had just gotten it word of mouth. So,
right.
You know, I just wanted to get my 2 cents, man.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for that. So, before you go, Denise, I want you to get into this. Do you remember the question I asked you, Denise? I think Denise has us on mute.
No, I'm here. I am muted.
Okay.
I agree with what Audrey's saying, and I agree with what I guess the last couple male callers were saying. Because of the way that things have the disconnect
between the sexes, because I realized that I was a common denominator in my relationships not working out. I wanted to get to the bottom, get to the root as to why, because they were all good men, you know, quality men, but somewhere along the line there was a disconnect, and I sought the help of a spiritual coach who I still work with, and pointed out some things to me that I have to work on if I'm to attract the right type of man to me. So counseling, and it's so taboo in the African American community, is necessary, because that's an objective person who is going to give you the real deal as they see it. They don't know you. They're just going off of what you told them and what they can gather in their conversation with you. And then going back to what the last male caller said about, you know, women and the dropping of the handkerchief, yes, that could be considered an aggressive act for that time period. But me thinking about that now, it would be a subtle gesture, because I'm letting you know I'm interested. Now it's up to you to tell me whether or not you're going to pick it up, give it back, and we start the communication train. Or you're going to say, well, you know, I'm married, or I'm engaged to be married or something.
Right.
I mean, times have changed, and it just depends, because women now are so, they're more aggressive than men. And I've had gay women try to pick me up, and they don't take no for an answer, or they try not to take no for an answer. And you have to seem to them in order for them to get the picture. I love men, and that's that. You can't change them. So the times have changed, and I don't know why women feel as though they have to be more aggressive instead of just operating in their femininity, because like Audrey said, when you go home, you're the woman, he's the man. You can't have two men and two women vying for the same position. And you know, and that goes back to one of the comments that you'd made in the group on Facebook. White women, Asian women, they go home, and all that feminist stuff is left by the wayside, because they know who the head of their home is and they know their place. And black women seem to struggle with that because they don't have those role models. Because even if you think, you know, back into the 50s and even before that, who was the one making the majority of the rules in the home? The woman was. So we, unless we take an active approach, we don't have a guide to show us what is appropriate and what's not. And especially now, you have girls, daughters, vying for the attention of men. So nobody's learning anything because they're trying to be like each other. You have those moms
right.
trying to be like daughters, because becoming a single parent at 15, and by the time you're 30, your daughter's, you know, 15, 16 years old, and you're trying to get the attention of her 17-year-old sister.
All right, perfect. Yeah, I'm looking at the time. I want to cut this at 8:30. Audrey, I want to ask you a question. Said make eye contact with the guy and smile.
Okay, so this is what I learned. This is what I learned from the therapist.
Well,
because
before,
she told
before
me.
You, so just I want to ask you a question by adding to that. So if you
sure.
make contact, smile. Would you be comfortable, or would you suggest to other women that you just say hi to the guy? Like, that's it. Look at him, smile,
no.
say hi. Huh?
No, definitely not.
No.
And this is what
okay,
I learned
let's hear.
That.
Okay.
Okay, so this is what I learned from this very wise 80-something-year-old woman who had studied all races of people. You know, if you speak first, that's masculine. So what I do is, and I found that it works every time. If I make eye contact with a man that's obviously attracted to me and I capture his gaze for 5 seconds and I smile and turn away, invariably, if that man's interested in me, if he's a man, he's going to walk over to me and talk to me. If he's not,
good
he
enough.
Won't. And, you know, and I don't get offended, but the look is to let them know that you're interested. The smile is to let them know they're not going to be rejected. And then
mm-hmm.
you take it from there. I mean, you can, I don't say hello because, you know, I'm formerly the type of person that would walk over and give you my phone number. But I don't do that anymore.
I got
you. I want to interject.
And I'm with Audrey on that. I'm with Audrey on that one. You know,
I was just going to say, you said the same thing earlier. So. But Smalls, you wanted to say something? Was that you?
Yeah, listen. I want to interject real briefly before I go into the conversation. You know, I think you touched on a salient point that I actually was about to say earlier. You're right. You know, hunting actually is a synonymous term to baiting. You know, if you know, when we use the euphemism of hunting, hunting is normally associated with being aggressive. But men and women actually use baiting signals to attract one another. The masculine might be more direct and forward. The feminine might be more indirect and passive. Now, mm-hmm. I think the young lady Audrey said something about, you know, the dysfunctionality of, you know, in black women and interdynamics in relationships. And I want to say this real quick. When women use the euphemism strong, independent black woman, that word actually, in my opinion, came out of a construct of lack, and it came out of a construct of deprivation. When a woman is operating in a strong masculine energy, that's not being feminine. The man is the fortress or the rock of the family. So when she say I'm strong and independent, then in my honest opinion, I feel like she's operating from a level of dysfunction that was predicated from slavery. So that,
and then,
can I respond
to that as a woman, as a quote unquote an independent woman? First of all, and I've had men tell me you don't need me for anything, but what I say is that. Personally, I have never asked a man for money other than my father. I have never asked a man to help me with anything, but I don't feel the need to announce it. I just do it. I don't have to tell anybody I pay my bills. I just do it. So here's the deal with men, and I've had three major relationships in my life, and the thing about it is that I've learned is that if my credit score is 850 and yours is 500, you may not be the man to handle the money, and that's just real. But I don't feel like women need to beat their chest and say they're independent because that's a level of insecurity. You just do what you do. You just do what you do. You know, and a lot of men, a lot of men are here like, well, women are asking for this, but there's, I don't know where you live, but I have a lot of girlfriends, a lot of acquaintances. I work for five different airlines, and the women that I know that are what they say, quote unquote, gold diggers, they have a whole agenda. My other girlfriends, they just do their thing. They don't ask men for money. They don't, you know, play that role of being helpless. Some of them are married, some of them are not. But a woman that's telling you she's strong and independent is actually the opposite, in my opinion and my experience.
And I agree with that because the flip side of that is because of the things that happened in slavery that have been dragged all of these years, men seem to forget that some of us, I mean, because I'm a divorcee, and even in my marriage, I had to do because my ex-husband was used to his mother doing in the relationship between her and his father, and that was, you know, her husband. So I had to do, not that I wanted to do it, but I had to. A lot of women that are deemed masculine because he wouldn't do it. So now that I'm single and men's in my face, you don't need me because you do. No, just step in and do it so that way I can sit back because I've had to do it and I'm used to doing it. And that doesn't mean that I don't need a man or don't want one.
Right.
It means that I've had to operate in a certain way or else my kids weren't going to get the things they needed.
Right. Well, but in that context, I still think there's a point of reckoning when you come into that relationship that you say, look, you have a conversation. This is where I was at in this place in my life, but I'm entrusting you as somebody that I want to be my leader if you deem that man necessary. And you let that man know, look, baby, I'm handing the reins over to you. I think that's a dialogue, and I think that comes with trust and time and getting to know the person. But, you know, I'm a firm believer. I'm an old traditionalist. I'm from the South. And, you know, I like what Ted said. If a woman's on my program, she's going to follow my program. She doesn't get to dictate how I'm going to run my program, but I'm going to be fair and I'm going to be judicial in doing what I need to do. I'm highly educated. My credit score is literally 800, not boasting, but I put in work to become the man that I am. So I know what my worth is. So I, you know, some people espouse egalitarian relationships. I don't necessarily espouse that. I'm a strict traditionalist. And I believe as a man, I'm going to lead by example. But it's not going to be abusive or totalitarian. It's going to be fair. It's going to be judicial. And it's going to be used with love. So I tend to agree with Ted. You know, I believe in cooperation if you want to be with me. You don't have to be with me, but if you do be with me, I'm going to treat you right. I'm going to love you. I'm going to guide the family. And we're going to have a good time. But all that tap dance and happy wife, happy life, I don't believe in that nonsense. But that's yeah. my take.
Exactly, because that's the power that she doesn't need to have. Because, and I wish that more men viewed it from that perspective. Because you're coming into it as a man. You're not beating your chest like King Kong and saying, I'm the man and you have to fall in line. You're going
right.
in and saying, we need to have a conversation about this. And if more men
right.
approached it from that perspective, then women
right.
could back down, and they don't have to be
right.
on the defense all the time. Because I would have
right.
responded to that and said, okay,
right.
you know what? You do it. I can be the woman. You be the man. I got your back. When
right.
If you need me to step in, I'm going to step in, and we got this. But there are a lot of men
yeah.
and that won't view from that perspective because they think just because they're a man, that entitles them to something, and it
I
doesn't.
Agree with that.
If I can, I'd like to interject for a second, piggybacking what you're saying.
Who is
right
this?
There.
Is Candace?
This is Bobby.
Is Candace? Bobby.
I'm sorry.
Right,
who's speaking?
This is Bobby. How are you?
Go ahead.
Really quickly, what I want to say is there's an interesting question that I like to ask when it pertains to that line of thought. And it's usually very unpopular, but when I hear women talking about how they don't believe in submission, because that's usually where you're going in that direction of when you talk about this kind of subject, women talk about they don't believe in the idea of submission, they're not going to follow or cooperate with a man's lead or whatever, or this and that and the third, and it's because they don't trust their man to do this. The question I always have is, whether or not you're in agreement with the concept of submission or not, when you talk about the principles of leadership, why would you as a woman want to be with a man who was not fit for leadership? Whether you'd be following it or not, when you look at the aspects of leadership and what that is, the responsibility, the willingness to put the family on your back, if you were not in agreement, if this was not a person worthy of that, why would you want to be with a man like that in the first place?
You wouldn't. As a woman,
you
wouldn't. And the whole thing is that I have no, you know, the word, you know, we're playing word games here. So the word submission, it's just a word. I know what the act is. But the bottom line is that a woman has to find a man that she trusts. There's a lack of trust in our community. I'm fortunate in that, you know, I with the relationships that I had, I haven't had that many, but I think they were successful because I still love that person and that person still loves me. And a man has to be a man in order to have a woman, quote unquote, submit to him. And it's nothing more than having, you know, a respected leader and a cherished father. That's the bottom line. So if you find a man, if I find a man, that I don't have any problem with the word submission. I won't play those word games, but don't come to me half-assed and expect me to submit to you. That's all I'm saying. If you want me to be that, you know, feminine, loving woman, then I have to know that you're going to protect me.
Exactly.
Otherwise,
right.
you know,
well,
I'm out of there.
So
anyway,
I want to say something. Now, here's it, so you can I've done these CEO roundtables, so I've met a lot of CEOs, male and female, and I've met a lot of people under them. So I don't care how accomplished a woman is, and even a CEO, because if she has a board of directors, she's going to take instruction from that board of directors. And some of those
yep.
people have been fired. The CEO has been fired by the board of directors. So
yep.
if a woman knows how to take the lead at work, then she understands how to do that. The question is, she's saying, like, if you have in your right hand, you have my job where I'm going to take the direction from the boss. And in my left hand, I have this man that supposedly I'm supposed to share love and affection in a partnership with. I'm never going to allow him to take that lead because I'm, you know, I'm tough and independent. It's almost like you're saying, screw the man, because I'll do anything for money. If you put enough money on the table, I'll submit.
Guys, remember what I said? Ted, remember what I said when I went through therapy? It's like the woman who, and I trust this woman implicitly, is that we're all masculine energy at work, but when we get at home, and a woman with a successful marriage knows this. When you get home, there's no such thing as an equal partnership, even if you're gay, straight, lesbian, or whatever. There's got to be a male and a female energy. So you
exactly.
Women have got to be able to, we've got to be able to segue. You can't, you know, the relationship will never work.
I understand that. What I'm saying is something different, that you do know how to cooperate at work.
Yes,
it has nothing
and
to do
home.
With masculine, because at work, you don't buck up on your boss and say, I'm tough and independent. The boss will say, you're
right.
Fired.
That's true.
You're
that
fired.
True.
Get out of here. You can go to your man at home who you supposedly have love and affection for and buck up on him and say, I'm tough and independent. How does that
because
work?
Because they don't know how to coach it. It's all
you get what I'm saying? I heard everything you said, Audrey, but I'm saying that women, everyone, man and woman, you know not to push too hard to your boss, and if you're the CEO, you know not to push your board of directors around. So you
mm-hmm.
know where the boundaries are. So there's some level of disrespect. There's some level of disrespect that's being taught that it's okay to have. And maybe there are some women who pat one another on the back for saying, you know, I put him in his place. I showed him, you know, and it's disrespectful. It becomes dysfunctional. So.
And that's true, because that goes back to one of the comments that you made in the group about white women and Asian women knowing how to check all that when they get home because they know who the lead is. Black women have
right.
bought into both parts of the feminist movement. I can do what a man can do, and if I'm bringing something to the table, then he has to do what I say, which is the totally wrong way to address
and that's
it.
What I'm, that's more of what I'm getting at. Right, that's what I'm getting at. So I know I promised we'd be over at 8:30. We're at 8:37, so I have a question for everyone. What do people get out of this call today? What, just quickly, I mean, do it in like two lines.
Okay.
What did you get?
Am I back? Hello?
Yes, you're back. You're back. You're here. Go ahead.
Well, I think that I'm very happy that I called in. I was about to get off the little Facebook page because it was breaking my heart, but I'm glad that I got to. I don't like being beat up on. I get a lot out of it. I think that men speaking is a lot different than what's on the, you know, what's on the page. And I'm glad that I
did.
I think you guys are great. And stop telling
thank
those
you.
Men to stop calling us names.
Go ahead. All right. Who else? What do you get? What's everyone getting out of this call?
I'm getting a bit that we need to continue having this conversation, because if we're going to heal all of the damage, all of the wounds that are there and that are gaping, because even on the Facebook page, even as Audrey said, it's heartbreaking because there are a lot of women who are in the dark, who don't know, don't want to admit that they don't know, and choose to attack instead. So I'm thankful that you provided a platform for the dialogue to happen, because it needs to happen if we're going to heal from all of the wounds from our parents, our parents' parents' slavery, and even before that, because it's needed if black relationships are going to get to a point where we have more successful ones than broken ones. And that's where my
perfect.
Heart
lies. All right. Thank
okay.
you. Perfect. Who else? What are you all getting?
Well, I think at the end of the day, the masculine must complement the feminine, and the feminine must complement the masculine. As in the esoteric, it's a yin-yang dynamic. And I think once
right.
those things are at an equilibrium, then you can have solid cohesion. So that's my take.
Perfect.
Thank you.
And, Chinese people have that built into their culture, like their everyday life. Anyone else?
All right. Well.
All right.
Masculinity and femininity are go far beyond just the ideas of relationship. It's about balance, as was said. It's not what you do, it's how you do what you do. When we learn how to be masculine properly and feminine properly, everything improves automatically, including relationships.
Well,
completely agree with that.
But let me ask you all, and Denise, you've heard me ask this question about personal development. Would you all, and do you think the people you know would be open to doing a workshop that really did help bring out the best? Like, we all have blind spots that sabotage us, and then we have an untapped side of ourselves that we don't know how to get to. Would you all be open to something like that?
Absolutely would.
Without question.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Good. Perfect. So I want to say thank you for everyone who called. I mean, this was great. Very dynamic, interactive, and mature. I love that. Even though I know it seems like the group gets violent and chaotic, but we've got chaos, and to get order out of chaos, you really have to be comfortable going through these messy conversations. So thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you for calling. We do this every Sunday from 7 to 8:30, and I appreciate everyone who's been part of this call and part of the Facebook group. And for those of you who didn't call in and want to continue the conversation, let's do that on Facebook. Have a great evening, everyone, and we'll speak to you next
you
week
well.
With another great topic. Take care and goodbye.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good night, everyone.
All right, be good. No doubt. Bye.